The 114th Congress left a lot of unfinished business. Besides straightening out budget priorities with the new Trump administration, the 115th will have a lot of policy changes to deal with. Here with a look ahead, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And we've got a few days left of the 114th, but really everything happens, I guess, after the first of the year at this point.
That's right. Technically, the 114th Congress still exists. Although you wouldn't know it from if you had any interest in going to the Capitol, it's as quiet as it ever is up there. But technically, the Congress still exists. Technically, Congress is still in session. A parliamentary bit of trickery, sort of, to make sure that President Obama cannot make any nominations that automatically go through when Congress is in recess at the end of the year. So. The Republican Senate decided to stay in business, technically, and right until January 3rd. But that's when the real action begins. Tuesday, January 3rd, is opening day of the 115th. It's a day of lots of quirky ceremonies and lots of happiness and lots of bipartisan pledges of goodwill. And that lasts a few hours before they get down to the real business.
I guess the main activity going on now in the building is a lot of janitorial work, a lot of touching up of paint, toes of statues.
Oh, that's exactly right. Yeah, That's right. This is a very, very busy time for the support staff on the Hill. Many physical offices change hands. There's a huge office. It's kind of like going to college where the upperclassmen bid on the best dorm rooms for the new year. This is the returning members of Congress have all bid for better office space, and the freshmen get what's left over, and everything has to be painted and recarpeted, and they've polished the floors, and they do all kinds of sprucing up so that when hundreds and maybe even thousands of people come in for opening day, especially to watch the freshmen take the oath of office, the place looks its best.
And let's get down to some of the business in the Senate, I guess. Confirmations, will that be the first thing they take up for the Trump administration?
Well, they actually are going. Yes, it will be. So Congress starts on the 3rd and the inauguration is on the 20th. So there's 17, 18 days in there where there's this gray area. And so some civics people say, well, how can they start confirmation hearings on Trump's nominees when he's not officially the president? And there's a parliamentary way around that. So, yes, they will start doing confirmation hearings on the easier of the Trump nominees and maybe even some of the more contentious ones as well, those that have filled in all this, all kinds of FBI background checks and long questionnaires about every investment every cabinet secretary has ever made. And because this incoming cabinet is made up of more really successful people in the business world than ever before, those questionnaires and those background checks are taking longer than they often have for cabinet secretaries. But we do think that there are going to be some hearings before Inauguration Day. The two that we're paying the most attention to are for Rex Tillerson, the ExxonMobil chief who is the nominee for Secretary of State, and for Jeff Sessions of Alabama, a member of the Senate, to be Attorney General. Those are the two, look like the two most controversial ones.
With respect to Jeff Sessions, everybody's got investments and conflicts, and your paper and some of the others have covered that. But the idea of him being a racist, I mean, that was raised so many years ago. And do you think that they'll still try to dredge that one up and make it an issue at this point in time, given the man's record?
Well, I do. I do. I think that there are some outside interest groups that are still rankled by this, that say it points to an aspect of Mr. Sessions' ideology that maybe has not been surfaced in recent decades. Right. This was 30 years ago. What we're talking about here is Jeff Sessions, when he was a young prosecutor in Alabama, was nominated for a federal judgeship by Ronald Reagan and was defeated. And the reason he was defeated was because there were allegations that he had said several things that were at best racially insensitive. He then, of course, became a senator. There are no new allegations of this. There's no new, more recent allegations that he said things that were hateful towards African Americans or any other race. But nonetheless, these interest groups think that his conservatism has the effect of he's so conservative that his policies at the Justice Department would effectively be prejudiced against African American.
So that's the tough one that would be shaping up, and also, I guess, more of a mystery then would be Rex Tillerson.
Yes, and certainly Mr. Tillerson, like Donald Trump himself, has no prior role in government, has never worked in government, has never worked as a diplomat, has never held elective office. So there's a certain, in some sense, he's new to this game, but in another sense, as the chairman of, you know, one of the world's biggest companies, if not the world's biggest company, he's known to many, many members of Congress. He is known as a business leader. So the big question, to oversimplify just a little bit, is can he translate his business acumen into being the world's top diplomat? And will his career in dealing with Russia on behalf of ExxonMobil end up being sort of too much Russia friendliness for the Senate?
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. I guess it's probably fair to say that Tillerson is much less of a mystery to those on Capitol Hill, being the president of an oil company for the past decade, than he might be to the general public.
That's exactly right. I mean, he is his lobbying forces and his fundraising forces have put him on the radar screen of probably most members of Congress.
And getting back to the issue raised with Senator Sessions, which seems like really a stretch at this point, but then you have also Senator Chuck Schumer, the new minority leader, who is pushing for a diversity campaign for the congressional staff itself, something that has been largely absent from a lot of the impositions that Congress makes for other federal agencies and for public corporations.
That is a good point. And yes, I think so. So Chuck Schumer is one of really his first sort of statements, even before he officially takes over as the Senate Democratic leader, is that, yes, he wants to open a nonpartisan office in the Senate to do more to try and promote the hiring of non-white staffers. It is undeniably the case, if you walk around the Capitol, that the people who work at the Capitol in the white collar jobs at the Capitol, the legislative support staff, the committee staff, the personal chiefs of staff, the press secretaries, they do not look like America. They are overwhelmingly white. There was a foundation that did a study of this about a year ago, and they looked at the top staffers, the top 350 or so staffers. And only about, I think, 7 or 8% were non-white. And this problem persists in the House as well. If you want a legislative branch that can help a staff that can help members make policy for the country, you probably want it to have a diversity of experience that helps them make policy for the entire country. And right now, the staff is a lot whiter even than the membership of Congress.
So basically, people will occupy Congress early on here as we get into the 115th. Anything else looming immediately? I mean,
other than the confirmations, is that they will start the process of repealing Obamacare. It's essentially a two-step process in which they have to actually they never got around to formally adopting a budget in 2016 for the budget year that is now underway. So they're going to go ahead and adopt that budget, and that actually creates a legislative vehicle for the repeal of Obamacare in a way that the Democrats can't filibuster. It's called reconciliation. It's a word people will be hearing a lot around Washington because reconciliation is the special legislative process that has kind of kryptonite against a filibuster, and that's what the Republicans will need to use to get over the still 48 Democratic senators that can otherwise block things.
All right, so everyone's going to try to have a happy New Year's Eve, but then keep their powder dry.
You got it.
David Hawkings is senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next year.
Thanks, Tom.
Find this interview and much more congressional coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.